So, wise as the serpent, harmless as the dove. Let me just start right in the middle. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and angels ministered unto him. And so now the real beginning started for Jesus. Not right at birth. It wasn't just freely handed to him. There was work to be done. There was growth to be experienced. As it continues to say, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him. And at this point, Jesus was tempted 3 times. This is not somebody who has completed their journey. This is someone who is growing in their journey. This is someone who is of the flesh, but is of Christ's mind. Sounds a little like what I have to go through. Very human. At one time or another, we've all had beautiful meditations full of peace and grace, one with God. The Spirit of God is in the midst of us, as always. That cannot be removed. We are on holy ground, as we read each week from our offertory blessing. This place wherein I stand is holy ground. It energizes me and renews me in rich and wonderful ways. And so we have that saying, how we are in him and that he is with us and in us and all about us. We dwell in his infinite love. For me, it is a love that I know I cannot bring forth on my own. I would not be capable of doing that. And yet with all that, you would think, wow, how could I ever leave this? And yet, there's those distractions every day. They come right back in to my mind. First they're out there, and then I willingly receive them. They can't come in to me unless I open the door and say, welcome. So we find ourselves thrusted from this state of beautiful being and into this limited negativity of doubt, distrust, perhaps jealousy, and all that other stuff that is of the flesh. And I know I'll ask myself, what happened to the wonderful and holy feeling of God's presence I just had just a few moments ago? It was so powerful. And it is. I am not, but it is. It is the power. That is where I go to, because that is the infinite source that is complete and absolute perfection. And I am not. So we look back and can ask, in the beautiful teachings of Jesus in the story, we can ask, why was he tempted? It's not a bad thing to ask that. Some places may tell you, oh, how dare you have such a thought? Jesus was perfect. There's a book, there's a wonderful book, the title of it is wonderful. It's called The Spirituality of Imperfection. And it has a lot of great stories through the years, and it also, the whole second part of it is all dedicated to AA, by the way, what they consider to be the most powerful spiritual, new spiritual thing to come up in the early 20th century. We had our 19th century stuff, but this author said that this was it for the early 20th century. But anyway, let me not deter too much from that. So how was it that the illuminated Son of God was to be tempted? See, to be tempted, the same thing. If when I have my distractions, I welcome. However I welcome them, I may not be like, oh, please come in, I can't wait. Maybe not like that, but I welcome them. How else do they get in there? So, if Jesus was to be tempted, that means he put himself in a position to be tempted. If he was not tempted, there would be no stories about temptation. So there it is, having to walk on the face of the earth just like everyone else, in the flesh, dealing with all the feelings and emotions and thoughts that everybody else deals with. Paul even says he was tempted in all things, even as we are. It says in Scripture, he grew in stature, spirit, and in wisdom. There's the powerful part. He grew. That means becoming, evolving. He was not complete. And this is beautiful, because this is about a human called the Son of God, the chosen one, but still a human who had to make decisions like everyone else. And honestly, if he messed up, I think God would have found someone else, and maybe that person's name would have been Thumbelina. I don't know. But it was Jesus. So Satan, who was tempting him, which can be brought in through any form of thought that we would personally have in any of ourselves or anyone else, that then causes us to be in this erroneous thought of separation or being apart from God. And yet, what is this? I mean, Satan is the human belief and opinion. It is the flesh at work all by itself without God principle. And so it falls, it becomes fray and weak. And that's its power, is that it is so weak. It's not our nature to be driven by such weakness. So it's not an outside force in and of itself, but within our own minds. It's the devious intellect creating distractions. It's the snake in Genesis. So that same idea. See, they really knew the psychology of mankind. But they had these beautiful stories, the snake in Genesis. Here's everything beautiful and wonderful. Here's this tree over here. Can't go wrong by that tree. But then there's this other tree. And the snake goes, yeah, come on over. Here's come over to this tree of distractions, of duality. And yet this is all part of how the mind works. And they knew this back then. Today we have fancier words. But the truth remains the same. The truth hasn't altered in any way, shape, or form. In fact, Satan never really leaves Jesus forever. At least not while he walked on the face of this earth. After Jesus knew of the Spirit of God in the midst of him, he immediately found himself in the wilderness and tempted of the world. Though Jesus chose not the ways of man, but of God's mind, still Satan left Jesus, but for only a season. You see, seasons can be treacherous and cynical, and they can keep coming back over and over and over and over. Just look at this winter season. Look at the many varieties we've had. Just look at the last couple of days. You know? Heavy rains for some of us, other folks, major heavy snowstorms. I'm looking at some friends' pictures they posted on Facebook. The trees were as low to the ground as they could be without snapping. And some of them did break and fell in streets and everything else. So the season is filled with much treachery. And it can be a very cynical way of expressing itself. It's not just, oh, here it's winter, beautiful, nice little fluffy snowstorms. And then, oh goodness, spring kicks in. There's no hay fever and there's no bees buzzing around my head. It's just beautiful things blossoming all over the place. No, I didn't walk into that beehive. You know, it's all wonderful. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And it is gorgeous and it is wonderful and it's beautifully and perfectly designed. And yet, I think of that book again. The imperfection, the spirituality of imperfection. Now, we come back to something that I mentioned before, and I said, and the angels ministered unto him. The angels came and ministered to him, yes. Though we have many paintings of these beautiful angels that are these disembodied entities floating around through the universe and all that kind of stuff. But first things first, however, but they are the great truths buried deep within our consciousness. They are the deep inner illuminating God truth that when we take this time to go into the silence, to go into the stillness, we really allow that clarity to take place and for that angelic thought to come up through us and to multiply and bring forth in fruition its beautiful glory. But it comes from within us. They bring clarity and sobriety to thought and comfort, and thought and comfort to the heart. It is within us that we find God's illumination, angelic in nature, divine in Christ, unfolding, always unfolding. Here is where we focus and embrace the truth. This is where the work is done. In the truth, when I said before that Jesus was still tempted, and it talks about that there was, but for a season, Jesus also never said, Jesus, be gone. Jesus only said, Satan, get thee behind me. That's not the same thing as banish. That's get thee behind me. So see, he had to still deal with that. He had to deal with all that stuff that everybody else dealt with every single day. And as it shows also, he prayed a lot, he meditated a lot, when they say that he went into the mountain to be with the Father, and other times he was on top of the mountain where he spoke the word that came from the Father, which he made clear. It is not about me, it is about the words I speak, for the words I speak come from the Heavenly Father, Mother, Divine Mind. You know, so I love when the Bible talks about these things and what they actually mean. But he spent a lot of time bringing that clarity back into his mind, because it was Satan, get thee behind me. Because even in his life and during his ministry, Satan was only gone for a season. See, this is a person who's unfolding, who's becoming, who's evolving. And it's hard to see when someone is of such a great divine nature that they are dealing still with the same stuff everybody else is dealing with. Didn't all go away? It's part of our journey here on earth. How is truth to be effective? Well, in practice. How can we call upon that which we don't practice? Or just dabble in? We cannot reap the rewards. Imagine that the musician ready to perform a recital, but they have not proceeded or spent hours, or if not years, of practicing to do the recital. There was a great classical flautist. I can't think of his name. James Galway. And I remember him just reading. This is like decades into his career. And he would say that when he is contracted to perform a piece, that he spends months playing it every single day, going over it. He said he doesn't even want to step out on the stage unless he can play it upside down, backwards, inside and out, and with his eyes closed. If he doesn't have it that down, he says he's in a panic. You see? It's not like he's brilliant, he's incredible, and he just comes out there, just because he's brilliant and incredible, he can just come out and play everything brilliantly and incredibly beyond belief. No, he practices, and a lot. And this was many deep into his career that he still does that when he's commissioned to perform a piece. That months are spent practicing it. Even no matter how well he knows it. Sounds like a real good piece of advice. So I am the light and the way that dispels darkness. The science of God must be revealed in our consciousness, and only through our consciousness. It is only entering into the silence that this science that we call divine principle or laws. It's only how they can begin to work through us, as us. It's not good enough just to have them in the storage area here, in the little library or warehouse tucked away in my mind. It is being with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. It is of that same principle to love God that way, that we can then love our neighbor. It is the only way that I can see these principles really make manifest in my life, if I am truly bringing them through me, through all my being. And that's a never-ending story, as Jesus, as it shows in the story of Jesus. You know, we often bypass his struggles. We don't even want to think of them as struggles, the temptations. Satan is only gone for a season. The best he can do is say, Satan, get thee behind me. That's a person that's being confronted with things, and he's only being confronted with them because his mind is allowing them to happen. Because that's also being of the flesh. And the Word was made flesh. And that was the most beautiful thing for all of us. Because we are also of the flesh, but we're also of the Word. And so we get the great demonstration. We get the great that was in the actions and the daily living that we get to see and witness, and then personally see and witness through our own being. Let's close with a prayer. We give thanks for the clarity and the wisdom and knowledge, for the kingdom that is here and now, in this moment. We need not wait. We only need to embrace our own personal power and allow it to make manifest in our daily living. And know that we too can walk as the greatest teacher walked, that there will be temptations, that there will be seasons, and yet we can always return to this absolute truth and walk in the Christ mind and in the God idea, as we've been taught that we can do. For you can do these things as I do and even more, for I am now going to the Father, was the greatest statement this teacher made. And so it is. Amen.